sack. Is that all you get for your money? And if that's what you have in mind, yeah, if that's what you're all about, good luck moving up, 'cause I'm moving out.
Well, good morning and happy new year. You're listening to Becky Ivins, Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. And we're going to talk this morning to Ken McBride, president of Chicago Title. I almost said Capital Abstract. And I know it's been a while, but Chicago Title, Oklahoma. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning, Becky.
You brought your pretty wife with you, so we enjoy having her just in the studio keeping us company. So, good morning, Katrina. We are talking about stealing houses. How do you steal a house? Because it's been in the news that people steal titles to houses. And someone told me, well, how do they do this? I mean, how do we protect ourselves from someone stealing our title? That's what we're going to talk about today, right?
Absolutely.
So how do we? You get us started.
Okay.
How does it ever even happen? That sounds ridiculous.
Well, and it's interesting. I went on the internet to check some news sources and get some reports, and I've got some stories to share with you. But this is not new. It's been around for a long time. And in fact, the first time that I heard of it happening was back in the 80s. And some of the people that will be listening to this remember the 80s, and things were tough around here. And the way I understand it, a gentleman who was in the oil and gas industry had an opportunity to take a one-year contract and go work overseas in an oil-related business. And his oil job here was going away. And so he and his wife decided to move overseas. It was a one-year contract. And they didn't want to give up their home here. They loved their home in the Oklahoma City area. So they leased it to what appeared to be a very nice couple. And they leased it to them for 1 year, and they were going to come back to their home. About 3 months into this process, the tenants listed the property for sale.
and stood in and pretended to be the sellers?
And interestingly enough, this was long enough ago that the requirements for photo ID were not quite in place the way they are now. As it would happen, they retained the services of a real estate agent who, of course, thought that they were legitimate. And so they go to the closing table, and the first attempt at closing on their sale, the title company that was handling that, and I don't know who what company that was, insisted on a photo ID. And these people said, we didn't bring our ID, we didn't think we'd need to, and they were very insulted, and they said, if you don't trust us, we're out of here. And so the transaction was moved to another title company that agreed to close it without their photo ID.
Wow. Of course, they probably had no idea, that second closing company, that's why it didn't close to start with.
It was, they were urged and informed that these people were touchy about things, and that perhaps they just didn't need to press it, just move forward. So the house was sold. The people came back from their contract tour and overseas, and found someone new living in their home that had bought it. That's the first instance that I know of, and it happened in the late 80s in the Oklahoma City area. And, of course, it was a mess. These people had made changes to the house.
Oh, my gosh.
They had they'd come in, and they thought they had bought this house. And, yes, the house was stolen, and basically what they really stole was the equity in the house, all of the equity in the house. And of course, they had priced it at the low end of the market so that it would sell quickly. And so people can, the first way that a person that I'm aware of can steal a house is to somehow take a house that they are occupying or a house that is vacant, and somehow be able to control access to that house, and then misrepresent who they are, or in this case represent that they are someone else, and that they take over the identity of the parties who own the house and forge their signatures.
Do you know locksmiths will are pretty, at least in years past, have been pretty willing to make keys for almost anybody for any house. You just say, I locked myself out, call a locksmith, they meet you at the house. Now, they did a sweep here in the metro of locksmiths, and this has been maybe 4 or 5 years ago, and 3/4 of the people, when they required a background check, we only have like 1/4 of the locksmith businesses now because the other 3/4 did not meet the background check to in order to get whatever permit or certificate or whatever they needed to do it to be a locksmith. So you could get a key to a house pretty easily, and if it's vacant, I suppose, and just go ahead and move in or call a realtor and put it for sale. Sometimes I wonder about how do we know we're dealing with the owner of the property. Recently, we have asked for photo ID. And title to property is difficult nowadays because so many times it's not just in a person's name. It's in a trust. And how do you know who the trustees are? And so we have started asking, well, of course, you have to get the memorandum of trust or certificate of trust or something like that to see who can sign to list to sell the house. At least we get that. But we have begun to ask for photo ID just for our record. And we just snap a picture on our phone, and then we take it back, and Shelley checks it out for us as to who owns that property and the memorandum of trust. And oftentimes we will run them through your office most times we run them through your office so that we know we're dealing with the right people that actually own the property. So you're saying maybe that was not the case with everybody.
Well, this is I'm probably going to say this more than once this morning, because at the final analysis, most business dealings, and real estate is certainly one of those, is based on some level of trust. Because, you know, you ask for a photo ID, well, what if they've got a phony photo ID?
Right.
So at some point, you're going to have some level of trust. And that is what the criminals use to their advantage. And so it helps to pay attention. It helps to look at the type of people you're dealing with, and it helps to ask questions and see if you can determine. But even the most careful individual, in certain circumstances, can fall prey to the criminals who do this. Many of them are very skilled at misrepresentation of who they are. I am amazed at the people who are able to get some kind of fraudulent identification and able to make these things work. We're still in the midst of a wire fraud epidemic in America, and that's going on. These people are very skilled. The FBI is working closely with, all of the title insurance companies and all of the other companies involved in real estate transactions, because it's a huge problem.
And larger sums of money are transferred in those transactions.
Yes, and they're able to steal more in a single transaction, and so it's worth a greater effort on their part. And the effort they're putting forward is pretty sophisticated.
Well, we're going to go into that when we come back with more on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. News Radio 1000 KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. A happy new year to each of you who listen to us on Saturday morning. So we thank you so much. We are talking with Ken McBride, president of Chicago Title Oklahoma, the I call it the premier title company and closing company in the area because it is. So we're talking about having your house stolen or having the title to your house stolen. Give us another story, Ken.
Well, the other one of the other stories that I ran onto is interesting. And, of course, each story is a little bit different. And I want to kind of say in advance that even though this type of scam has been around for a long time, and in one form or another, it's been people have been doing it for a long time, the tools that it takes to do this are easier now than they used to be. Back in the 80s, we did not have the title records online. And so if you wanted to perpetrate a scam like this, sometimes you needed to either get a lease on a property that you thought you could turn around and sell when the owner wasn't looking or something like that. Now people can go and search the records online and see if they can find a property that is vulnerable to this. Let me bring this is an example that I pulled from CBS News, and it was from 2005. And some guy they were interviewing was complaining that their house had been stolen. And what the news report said that the key documents were a fake ID card, a power of attorney, and a quitclaim deed. These people stole this house with three pieces of paper.
Wow.
A woman who claimed to be the owner's sister, and truth in fact, the owner was an only child.
Oh. But there's no record of that, really, for anyone to
know
about.
No way for someone to verify that if they don't know him. But she had a fake power of attorney notarized, filed it of record, filed the papers transferring the house to a new owner, and then the new owner turned around. I mean, the records showed that this $250,000 house had been sold for $25,000. Then they turned around and took out a mortgage on the house for $200,000.
Oh, my gosh.
And that's why law enforcement at the time called this an equity skimming type of transaction. Because rather than selling the house to a third party and going through much delay, they turned around and used fraudulent papers to put themselves in title and then took out a mortgage because this house had significant equity in it.
Well, and I suppose it's easy to check online nowadays to see if there is a mortgage on a property.
Absolutely.
So you could find one that has no mortgage and go there.
This particular group of people were very ambitious. They in the Philadelphia area alone, they stole 36 houses.
Are they residing in the Philadelphia area now, do you think?
No, I think that they've got room and board paid by the government right now.
Yeah, probably in a federal facility.
There were 11 people involved in this ring, and they were all convicted and they were all sent to prison. But the investigator that was interviewed for this article was looking at another case and working on another case in cooperation with law enforcement that involved 40 houses.
Another 40 houses?
Another 40 houses.
Wow.
And this investigator also commented for the news article that once this happens, there's a lot of stuff that's been put in the public record that's fraudulent, or you've got these loans that are on the property now that were improperly done, And it's one of these circumstances where it can take a while to get it straightened out.
Right. And so you have no, like the people from that came from overseas, their mission overseas, didn't even have a house to come back to live in.
That's very true. It was pretty tragic for them.
Yeah.
But they, you know, the interesting thing is they did get it all straightened out.
But it takes a while, like you say.
It can take a while.
Well, we're going to talk a little bit about wire fraud and how folks have been able to accomplish that and more stories right after this break on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000, KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. I am Becky Ivins that you are listening to, a broker of Movers Real Estate Company. I invite you to call us for help on anything that has to do with real estate. Folks call our office all the time asking, who would you get to do brick repair? Who do you use if you've got a leak under your slab? Those are the kinds of things we deal with all the time on property inspections. We have our favorite companies that are reputable right here locally that we deal with. One of those companies is our title company that we use. I ran my numbers, Ken, and it was over 70% of the time this last year that we were able to use Chicago Title. And I get real proud when I bring a new realtor to you because I know that that realtor has so much more chance of succeeding at their craft because they have experts closing the transaction. As a realtor, you do it all up front. And you work and work and you get finished with the repairs. You get the appraisal done. There's a lot of moving parts to a real estate transaction, and you can get to a closing and it can be disastrous. But at the Chicago Title offices, and I think you've got five or six of them now, you can just kind of take your deep breath and relax because it's going to be ready. It's going to be right. Everybody's going to walk out of there feeling good. Because it's a professional shop. So we appreciate you and all your closers, which are the best in the whole metro.
Thank you, Becky.
Yeah, and they're processors, too. I never give a shout-out to the processors that get those documents ready for the closers, so that's awesome.
It's a team effort.
Isn't it always a
yes.
team effort? It's time for our word of the day, brought to you by Robbins Roofing Company. Robbins Roofing, there has a word that is an everyday word, trust. You can trust Robbins Roofing. They will handle your insurance claim to be sure that you get everything fixed that's on your claim, and they will help with the subcontracting of that and get the gutter people out there. If you have screens that need repaired, they'll do the whole thing for you, and you can trust that they will charge you a fair price. And Robbins Roofing, 728-3700, 728-3700. Our word of the day today is fraud, right?
Absolutely.
What's fraud, Ken?
Fraud is you know, basically the misrepresentation of something and using that misrepresentation to your own advantage.
There you go. Yeah, wrongful or criminal deception for the benefit of the person doing the deed, right?
Right. And there's lots of kinds of fraud.
Yeah. Do you know one of the – there was a celebrity marriage that was divorced soon after they married, and the named reason usually is just incompatibility. This one was fraud. And I thought, wow.
Wow.
That's, yeah. So,
you know, one of the ways that people have taken advantage of and actually stolen houses is that frequently when people are in a financial bind and they can't make their payments, they become vulnerable to people who come and say, let me help you work with that. and put the title in my name or in the name of a straw buyer, some kind, and I'll work out your payments for you and work something out. And then they end up either putting another second mortgage on the property or something else, and taking the money and going. Or they sell the house, take the equity out of the property. Just because someone is having trouble making payments on their loan doesn't mean they don't have equity in the property. And frequently, those people who are in a desperate situation are taken advantage of.
Right. Well, so don't get in a desperate situation. If you do, call somebody that can help you out of it, rather than someone that just kind of solicits and offers their own devious help, because they sound like they're helping, but they don't. So do you have another story for us?
Well, one of the interesting stories that came up was out of Dallas. And there was an outfit down there that was using, and they were actually, it was a Dallas publication, but one of the property, or most of the properties ended up being in the Houston area. But they were using forged deeds. They were using forged deeds to get property in the Woodlands, and they ended up having, you know, in that particular case, over $3 million that they had stolen from various people. They would forge a deed to themselves. But these people were actually a little bit greedy. They didn't really care how much equity there was on the property, because they forged a release of mortgage.
Oh, my gosh.
On the mortgage that was there. So by the time they were through forging, they had the property free and clear. This property was free and clear, and so they were selling this property with no mortgage on it and taking all of the money and going. And that happened, like I said, on Houston property, but these people had done it on a lot of property, and it ended up being a huge problem.
That's one of the problems with criminals, is that they do get greedy, and that's how they end up getting caught, isn't it?
Those people got caught, and you know, one of the things that the news article focused on was all of the assets. They had millions of dollars of assets that they'd accumulated with these stolen funds, and of course the government seized those assets, but still it's a shame that they were able to live so high at the expense of others.
Right. So, wow. Now, tell us a little bit about wire fraud. How can we avoid wire fraud?
You know, wire fraud is still a very challenging and very difficult matter, because the criminals use email. And they will craft an email that the address that the email is coming from is remarkably similar to the address of either the real estate agent or the title company, or in some cases both. They'll use them in tandem, and maybe it's just one letter off from the real address. And reading emails, frequently people will not notice that, and you know, it happens so regularly. Just this last week, we got an email that was supposedly from a realtor, and it said that their seller had, instead of getting a check at closing for their proceeds, had decided that they wanted the proceeds wired to them, and sent us wiring instructions that were fraudulent.
Now, do you think it was the realtor that did that, or someone that got into the realtor's email?
Oh, I am fairly certain that it's a part of the criminal enterprise. The people that do this for a living, they got into someone's email. It could have been the seller, and it could have been someone else. But they found out that the transaction was pending, and they sent us an email that appeared to come from the seller saying, don't give me a check at closing, wire the proceeds, and here's the wiring instructions. And there were several things that were red flags to us in that email. And so we did what every person who's involved in a wire involving a title company or a lending institution should do. We picked up the phone. We called that seller. We called the seller's realtor, and we said, this is what we've received. We think it's bogus. Please confirm or let us know what the actual facts are. And sure enough, the seller was just appalled. The seller had no idea that email had gone out, the bank account that they were wanting the money to be sent to had nothing to do with the seller. It was totally fraudulent.
Wow. You can, and once that money goes, it's very difficult to get a wire money back.
It's extremely difficult. Our company has a group of attorneys who are on call 24 hours a day, and they have paperwork set up nationwide to obtain a restraining order to freeze those funds, because it's been our experience that the money will go to a financial institution in the United States for 2 business days. And then it will go and leave the United States and go generally to either Russia or China. And once it gets, I can assure you based on the reports I've received, once it gets to a Russian or a Chinese bank, it's gone.
Wow.
That bank won't cooperate with us. You know, we've even, you know, confirmed in some cases that, you know, what account it went to in Russia and when it went to them. But the bank just shakes their head, and they're not interested in helping.
Well, there's nothing in it for them.
So. No, and there's apparently no real incentive. But this, if you're involved in a wire transaction, please confirm by a telephone call. Now, I need to say this. This is an important part of it. A telephone call to a number that you know is a legitimate number, because these people also have the second level. They've got telephone numbers on their emails that are bogus telephone numbers, and they have people who are sound very convincing on the other end of those phone lines who will say, oh, yeah, this is the right wire. Oh, yeah, this is the place to wire your money. And so they've carried the scam pretty far, and so you need to make sure that you confirm by a telephone call to a known number.
Well, it's a pretty lucrative deal.
It's a lot of money. It's a lot of money.
And you can avoid it by dealing with a company that's going to verify that for you. You're not going to be sending money to some unknown place without a telephone call to verify it. And you guys ask at the closing table, even if you've had instructions ahead of time, this is the bank account that you want this sent to. This is the name on the bank account, and it has to go to the bank account, has to be titled the same way to the same people that own the property, right?
Yes, and you've brought up a really kind of a sticky situation. Some financial institutions will compare both the account number and the name that's supposed to be on the account when they receive wires to make sure it's legitimate. Some very large financial institutions have elected not to do that. And it seems it's interesting. These institutions that do not do that happen to be the ones where these frauds show up on a regular basis. Yeah. Because they know that they're not going to be comparing those things. And so it's my personal view that financial institutions need to compare, you know, their computers can compare the name on the account and the account number, and if they did that, it would make it much more difficult for these scams to work.
So, boy, just stay tuned, because we've got a couple smoking hot deals, and we've got another fascinating story for you from Ken McBride from Chicago Title. This is Becky Ivins wishing you a happy new year from Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000, KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. If you're having a great day today, we're going to tell you how to make it better. We probably just scared the snot out of you, right? Talking about all the fraudulent things that can happen to you, how people can steal the title to your property. And we're here with Ken McBride, who is going to tell us about how to keep from getting your house stolen. And then we've got a call from Jerry and Norman that wants to ask you a question. So let's tell us how to avoid
wire fraud. Very quickly, let me just suggest, of course, with wire fraud, get on the phone, call a known number, confirm those wiring instructions, and make sure that everybody knows what's going on. The with regard to someone filing documents against your house without your that are fraudulent or forged, this is one of those types of things that title insurance can provide you with some protection. Owner's title insurance is the best way to protect you in this type of circumstance. I do want to say that these types of frauds are rare, but when they do happen, they can be catastrophic. And so keep that in mind.
Well, there are a lot of kind of insurances that you sometimes are required to purchase during a transaction. And the requirement is if you have a mortgage. If you don't have a mortgage, if you're buying cash, you don't even have to have property insurance. I mean, that's your election to do that. But once you have a mortgaged property, any kind of a mortgage, the mortgage holder is going to require that you have property insurance, hazard insurance to cover it in case of a fire or tornado or something like that. There are also, if you put less than 20% down on a property, you have to buy mortgage insurance to protect your mortgage company from your default on the loan. So that's what most people refer to as PMI, private mortgage insurance. And sometimes you have to have flood insurance if you're in a designated flood-prone area. And each of those insurances is ongoing year after year. Private mortgage insurance can sometimes be dropped if you get below the 80% loan to value. But the other insurances keep going. Most of the time, private mortgage insurance keeps going year after year. When you purchase property, though, the title insurance is a one-time fee. Is that right, Ken?
That's correct. The title insurance is a one-time premium, and it remains in effect as long as you own the property. And it continues to protect you as to your warranty deed when you deed the property out.
Right. So even if you remortgage the property, you have to buy new title insurance for the new mortgage company, but your owner's insurance stays into effect. Is that right?
That is correct.
Yeah. So it's a one-time purchase, and it's required if you have a mortgage. It's required for your mortgage company. You don't have to get it for yourself, but that second policy is quite the bargain, isn't it?
Well, it protects the owner, and the owner really has quite a bit at risk.
Right. So, and it's, I mean, a simultaneously issued policy is $50 extra. So
that's
certainly
correct.
A bargain,
yes,
for that. So do you want to answer a question?
Certainly.
Okay. Jerry, good morning.
Good morning, Becky. I have a question about the wire fraud business, but a couple of quick compliments on your favorites. So, Robbins Roofing helped us a lot with my 96-year-old father had a scammer trying to do a bunch of work on his roof, and the guys came out from Robbins Roofing. We haven't done any business with them yet, but they looked at the roof and they said, there's nothing wrong with this roof. So they saved us a lot of money and trouble. So
wow.
I love your favorites list. And Waterworks, John Johnson, we have done a lot of business with him, but they spent about 10 minutes on the phone with me yesterday helping me try and detect a leak. So those guys are great. But my wire fraud question is, I'm trying to help my 96-year-old dad get, he invested in some real estate, and due to hardship, they agreed to give him back some of his money on this investment. They gave back a big portion of it, but one, he sent his very first check to him by wire. And the bank, this was 6 years ago, and the bank didn't have like a copy of the check. They sent me the paperwork where the transfer was done with a domestic account where it was deposited. But they say they can't find, you know, can't come up with anything. So I'm going to write a letter to the Oklahoma, I think it's Oklahoma Securities people detailing all this. I didn't know if there was anything else I could do other than start that way.
Well, Ken, we've got about a minute left.
Okay.
So.
Well, I think you're starting off certainly in the right direction. But with wires, there is documentary evidence of whether the wire was actually sent and where the wire was actually sent. And most of that goes through the Federal Reserve wire system. And so you might think about looking, having your bank inquire with the, see if there's some documentation that they have of where the wire went.
Okay. Well, I tried FINRA first, and they said, no, it needed to be a state, needed to be the state people that handled it. So, yeah, I could go at it that way with between my banker and
For criminal charges, maybe the state, but your answer may be at the Federal Reserve.
Okay. So. Okay, that's good to know.
Okay, well, thank you, Jerry. And if you want to see the people on my favorites list, go to BeckyIvins.com, and there's a tab that says Becky's Favorites. And Ken McBride, thank you so much for being a part of the show, being a part of our team, and providing good title insurance for our clients.
It's our pleasure.
Okay, we'll see you guys here next week with more on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000 KTOK.